that it doesn't matter where you're starting. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be spiritual enough. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to pause, to take a second for yourself, and to believe that you are more than your physical body, and listen to that part of you that is already whole, and remember who you are. That's where it begins.
Welcome to the Break the Chains, Find Your Flame podcast. Our goal of this podcast is to provide insight and wisdom into all things mental health, to sit down with individuals and talk about their journey, how they've broken free from the chains that bind them, to find their flame, their passions, and purpose. Breakers, welcome back to season three. Today's episode is episode five of this amazing season. Thank you all for tuning in. We're having a blast creating these episodes for this season. Always having a blast talking to guests and sharing information. Our guest today is fantastic. Her name is Jessica Desolée. Jessica and I started going to school together in eighth grade all the way through high school, and we even worked our first job together at a country club, oddly enough. We talk a lot about her journey through the metaphysical areas of life, through meditation and the work that she's doing to propagate awareness and focus and all that beautiful energy that goes with meditation, mindfulness, and connection to the ether. So happy to kind of share her journey and to put out all the positive vibes that she has to bring to the world in this form. I'll put in the show notes some more information about what she's doing. After you listen to the podcast, you can check that out and outreach to her. I know she holds some classes, and she would love y'all to tune in and play it forward in the sense of creating a world that's full of that positive energy. So without further ado, here she is. So today we have a guest that I'm really excited to reconnect with. We went to school together. I think you also worked with me at one of my first jobs at Mill Valley Country Club for a little bit.
Yeah.
So awesome to kind of reconnect and talk about something that I'm really interested in, and I teach and I love to help people with is mindfulness and meditation and all aspects that kind of go to that ethereal kind of state of mind. So I'm super excited to have you here. I'm super excited to hear what you've been up to. And just wondering if you could hit our listeners with a little origin story of who you are, what your passions are, and where you're at now.
Sure. Well, my name is Jessica Desolée, and thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I am honored to be here. I went to school and always kind of wanted to help people. So I had quite a long career in the healthcare industry, working with the clinical, on the clinical side of things. And I really enjoyed that. And then it one day became monotonous, like I wasn't feeling challenged. So I switched over to the IT side of healthcare, which was just, wow, I never thought I'd leave my lifelong career, you know, and just switch like that. And then that's kind of when I started opening up and realizing, like, wow, I can do anything. So I got into meditation and started meditating here and there. I had the same type of, you know, I can't quiet my mind, I can't sit still. So I really liked using guided meditations, and sometimes I would listen to affirmations overnight, like 3 hour long affirmations, kind of like hoping it would just stick into my subconscious without me really realizing it. And then I went for one of my birthdays. My girlfriend and I went to the Monroe Institute, and that just really changed my life. They utilize a specific sound technology that is basically like training wheels to get into altered states of consciousness. And it has changed my life. It's opened my eyes. I've had a spiritual awakening and realized that I'm spirit in physical form. And I don't think realized is actually the best word. I like to say remembered, because there's a lot of stuff that we just need to unlock and remember, because we do have a lot of innate abilities that we're born with, and the unconscious people who raised us, our parents and society and everyone, instilled all these limiting beliefs that we can't do a lot of things, and we aren't that intentional sometimes, and we don't even realize it. So meditation has really helped me be more intentional in my everyday life with my thoughts, and through that, realizing how powerful your thoughts can be and how your perspective is malleable, and you can change it, and you can change your beliefs, and your life can change because of that. So I opened the chapter of us to help spread the Monroe Institute's message of kind of helping people explore consciousness
Great.
and
That's awesome.
remember who they are. Oops, sorry.
No, it's okay. I like that concept of remembering, right? Because I think a lot of people think of meditation as actualization of self, which I think it is a little bit, but it's kind of viewed as an end point or an achievement to unlock, when the reality is like, no, you have to just kind of shift through all of the muck and mire to find. It's kind of like a lotus, right? Like you have to find that beauty that comes from all of that stuff and reconnect to self. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Of course, I was about to say something, just left.
If it's important, it will come back in the
It
course
sure
of
will.
the podcast. No worries on that. So what drew you to the Monroe Institute? You said you went there with your girlfriend and you were able to kind of connect in that way. Was there anything that stuck out, or did it just pop up for you?
Yep, I didn't even know anything about it. It's 3 hours away from where I live, so it's driving distance. And they had a retreat that had open slots on the week of my birthday, and that's really what got me there. And since then, I've learned all about divine timing and how comforting it can be to just trust that the universe has a timeline. Time can be a touchy subject, because really only right now. But everything happens exactly how it's supposed to, exactly when it's supposed to. And if it didn't, it would just mean that we would be in another timeline where everything that happened there happened because it was supposed to. So we can shift our timelines using our beliefs.
Don't get me started on multiple
Yeah, I
timelines.
know. That's why I'm
I'm a
like, well, how
huge,
far do I want to go?
this could be like a 5-hour conversation. One, just because I'm super geeky into the superhero world and there are multiple timelines and universes and things of that nature. But it's a really fun concept to think about at times and to do that mental exercise. But I like that reaffirming of like, yeah, that could be something, but you're here and now, and so it makes sense to be here and now and kind of follow that line of thought. I know that you were talking about your healthcare journey and shifting specifically from direct healthcare to IT, and then that opened up this concept of like, oh, I don't have to stay stagnant. I don't have to stay in one career. I think this is a really important thing. It's related to everything that you're talking about with Chapter of Us, but I also think it's important to like disseminate to a lot of people is that we don't have to stay stagnant in one concept of what we want to do for the rest of our life. But I think this is some of what you were talking about with the society of placing limiting factors on us as we grow, is this concept of no, you should. This is how you do it. You should know what you need to do at 18. You should follow that line of thought, and then you're set for the rest of your life, which is let's hope that people live to be 100. So that's like one fifth of your life. You need to, the first fifth of your life, you need to dictate the rest of the four fifths of your life. And when you look at it that way, it's ridiculous, right? But it is a limiting factor. I think a lot of people connect with, I connected with it. I changed my major multiple times in undergrad, and then I changed it back to psychology after. I have so many clients who are in that same boat. They're so trepidatious about the future and not making a mistake. But the reality is like that's how you grow.
You can't make a mistake, you
No.
know, meant to be, even the mistakes are meant to be.
Right. And that concept, I think, is really opening. Is like, and that's not to discount that there are tumultuous parts of life and emotional parts of life and distress and things of this nature. All of that's true, but I think like you're talking about is like navigating this thing is not necessarily one size fits all, and it's more about connecting to self to help you navigate this than like knowing what the outcome is going to be.
Right. Yeah, because it's going inward anyways. So a lot of things we can run into, especially with meditation, is that people come in with an expectation. They think they have to sit cross-legged with their hands in a certain position or breathe a certain way, or it won't work. So if it's all these things that aren't done perfectly, you feel like you're already setting up to fail. So then once you start having some thoughts, you're like, oh, I just can't do this.
Right.
And really, it's comforting to know that you can meditate in any position you want. You know, if you want to lay down, however you can get most comfortable, you can move during your meditations. There are really not as many rules as people think there are, or things that you have to do in order for it to work.
Right.
And one of my favorite parts about meditation is that you don't necessarily need to allot a certain amount of time every day. It doesn't have to be on a schedule. There's things you can learn in meditation that when you are applying them in your everyday life, staying in the present moment, making conscious decisions, that's equal to meditation. That's kind of like the other side of it, is integrating it, helping yourself heal, and that's going to open up more doors, maybe, if you will, inside of yourself to help you get to know yourself better by breaking down the chains. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the shout out to the breaking the chains aspect. No, I think you're right. And I love that concept of like meditation is not necessarily what our societal picture of meditation is. Because in teaching meditation or sitting with people in meditation, one of the biggest feedbacks you get is like, oh, I can't do that. I can't. And even to the point, I was talking to someone not too long ago and talking about challenging that concept. One, because meditation is a skill, right? And so anything that's skill based or connection to yourself is you have to practice and you have to harness. No one's gonna sit for 2 hours the first time they try to meditate, nor should they. Like
They
there's
might, you
no
know, you might
construct.
have a spiritual experience right
That's
on your
fair.
first time.
That's very
Yeah.
fair. But I guess I challenge the concept that you have to do that in order to be meditating. And so I think breaking down those walls of, you know, what I think a lot of people gatekeep meditation is like, oh, this is the right way without necessarily expanding. It's like you can do this in any way that fits you and
Right.
what connects to you. And I think that's great. I know the first time I tried to meditate, I was all over the place.
Me too. It
And
was
so
frustrating.
it's very frustrating because again, it's like, well, I should be able to just sit. Why can't I do that? And you know, it took my brother to really teach me. You know, I was very lucky to have my brother teach me at 16 or 17 about martial arts and about different aspects of meditation, different forms of meditation. And I got to go to seminars at that young age. And you know, I like to joke. I think I've talked about it on podcasts before. I like to joke that I learned, you know, probably shouldn't wear cologne when you go into a meditation seminar because of
All the
heightened.
breathing.
All the breathing and like heightened senses and you know people's aversion to smell, but you know you remember being 16 or 17.
Of course.
I think bod was like really popular
You're
back in the day.
just
So
trying to bring your best self
you
forward.
know I was like I don't want to be judged. I got a lot of curly hair going on that's like dyed blonde and want to smell good. And my brother pulled me aside after we were doing something called Taoist yoga meditation, and he was like, "Hey man, just so you know, here's the thing." And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But you
Yeah.
know, at that age. So in your journey, obviously we're talking about the constructs of meditation, the limiting factors that kind of hold us back. And without getting like super deep and super personal, what were some of your limitations holding you back or hesitancies about trying meditation? Or did you have any, or did it just
Of
feel like
course,
a
I
natural
did.
thing?
Yeah, I was a completely different person when I started meditating. It's a really good question because this is how people can compare themselves in, and relate to issues that are happening. So I can't visualize things. People call it aphantasia, but I choose not to put a label on it. I feel like maybe there's something blocked that I still need to work on. So when I close my eyes and try to picture an apple, it's always black. I know what an apple looks like. I have more of the file mind. So during meditation, the imagination is a huge part of it. Visualize yourself walking down this path or on the beach or wherever. And so I just kind of have to imagine it the best that I can, the way that I know how. It's not pictures. But multiple times in meditations, I have imagined things that were explained to me. This is how they look. Just keep imagining it, and it'll happen. And when it does happen, it looks completely different than the way I was imagining it. Nothing that I would have ever expected. So to me, in my skeptical mind, where I like to have proof of things, that really helped me because I didn't come up with this. I don't know where this came from. It was very surprising. And that's happened quite a few times in meditation. So that would probably be my biggest hurdle that I would always think, I can't do this because I can't visualize. And every guided meditation wants me to visualize. And I have ADHD and OCD and an ego that really loves to protect me every way it possibly can. And, all of those things being so active made it so hard to do. But just settling in, thinking about the fact that is there a possibility that we're more than our physical body? Just focusing on that and nothing else. And then the Monroe also has a lot of preparatory process things that they pull you through before the meditation begins. So it's really nice to kind of get those things out of the way and you can utilize them through your meditation. For example, they have something called a energy conversion box. And that's at the beginning where you can put all of your physical human issues in that box. And they're going to stay there until you come back. And you can clear the box with, loving light energy. So that way, maybe some of those issues even resolve themselves while we're in meditation. I like to, when a thought pops up, lovingly address it. And this has changed for me over time. But what I did in the beginning was when a thought would pop up, I would say, okay, thank you, ego, for always having me prepared with that to-do list or keeping that fear to protect me. Like I know it's all out of love, even though it seems like you can't quiet your mind. So I thank my ego. I've named the parts of my brain. A little plug for Whole Brain Living by Jill Bolte Taylor is a wonderful book. So I've named the parts of my brain. So when I'm in meditation, I can say, hey, Ellie and Alex, I don't need you right now. I might need you later for interpretation, but we're just observing now and just kind of putting them in the box. And then I can come back to my breath and to the meditation. So there's a few tricks that I've learned at the Monroe Institute to help with the ADHD and the OCD and the non-visualization. And it's worked.
No, that's awesome. I mean, they're very, some of the stuff that you're talking about is very similar to, I do EMDR therapy with clients, and there are very similar techniques of having that box or that container to kind of put stuff in. And then there's also a therapy called IFS, which is like internal family systems, which is all parts work and naming parts of self and things of that nature. So it sounds like you all are doing some good work of weaving all this stuff in to kind of help that. And I agree. I think that concept of having thoughts is a natural byproduct of just being alive and in a society. And when you sit to do meditation or you sit in stillness, whatever you want to call it, those are going to come up. And so it's not fighting against those things, but honoring those things, like you're talking about, like, hey, I respect what you're doing. I don't really need it right now. So why don't we, put you in the passenger seat and let me continue to drive in this process. I do something very similar when I'm meditating and I'm having a lot of thoughts, is I'll either address like that, a different part of myself that those thoughts are coming from. Or I'll say, okay, you got 5 minutes, just let it all come through. Okay, you're 5 minutes up, and now I'm coming back to breath, and let's do it. And I also, and thank you for sharing, your own struggles with like visualization, because I think that's a something that people don't talk a lot about with meditation, because it is very much like, hey, sit and visualize yourself walking on a beach, and that's not what everyone can do. So I like that you found a workaround for that, and I also think it's important for us as we teach this stuff or sit with people doing this stuff is to think outside the box and how we kind of communicate around that stuff as well. So I do think there's a lot of like felt self that you can focus on instead of visualization, sent other senses you can focus on instead of visualization of, all right, what would the sand feel like if you were walking through it? Why don't you pay attention to that? Or what can you hear? Or, things of that nature, as opposed to just like an image or your picture. And like I was saying with EMDR, that's very similar. Not everyone sees a memory visually, and so you have to be comfortable adapting and working with that person.
That's true. Even it's funny too, because when I did EMDR, I've done it once. It was a few sessions, I did one treatment and I could see the places that I went to, the traumas that I was trying to clear, it was like I was sitting in the room. It shocked me, but that's the left and right brain activation. There's magic.
Bilateral stimulation.
Yeah, I mean, there was people in the room I didn't remember in the room. Things were happening that I didn't remember, and I was just like, where has this been my whole life?
I tell people a lot, like, not to overhype it, but it's the closest thing to magic I've seen in a therapeutic
I
setting.
called my therapist a magician and I wouldn't let her call it right. I'm like, you're a magician, period.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to start telling my clients to call me that, because I'd
It's
be,
yeah.
I mean, it would let me wear a big top hat.
And we're all magicians. You could dress like a wizard,
Yeah, I was just talking to my parents the other day. I want to start bringing cloaks back as like a fashion statement, because that would be awesome. So maybe that's my new thing. It's like, just be the,
Just be authentic. Do whatever you want. That's yourself and it makes you unique. And that's the best part. I just dyed my hair purple a couple of months ago
Nice.
and I love it.
Yeah,
My
that's awesome.
ego asking, are you sure you're not too old? I said, nope. This is exactly how I feel. And it just feels so good to be who you are, to know who you are, to get to know who you are.
Well, I'm not afraid of dyeing my hair and growing it really long and outside of the box there. I'm wondering if we could kind of shift gears a little bit and just talk a little bit. You mentioned the Monroe Institute having a certain sequencing of sounds and things of that nature, and obviously they have their own propriety of doing that. So I'm not asking for trade secrets, but like, what is some of the background with how they approach their version of doing this?
I can just give you a quick rundown. Robert Monroe is the person who we can all thank for this. He was in the radio station business. He owned a couple of radio stations. He did very well for himself. And at the age of, I think, 42, he just started having spontaneous out-of-body experiences and he had no idea what was going on. And he was not a spiritual person to begin with. So he ended up going through and getting checked out by all the doctors, all the different kinds of doctors to make sure that what's going on? Am I losing it? Basically, once he realized that he wasn't, he poured himself into research and he had a very scientific and non-dogmatic approach, which is very nice and it's very inclusive to everyone. Just kind of what's the experience? What's the data? And with his history and sound, his experience, he paid special attention to the sounds that were being listened to. And so he came up with hemisync technology. And what that is, it's basically the byproduct of binaural beats. So binaural beats, I'm sure you've used in the past, are just two different frequencies playing in each ear. So for example, you'll have 100 hertz in one ear and 104 in the other. Well, that your brain's getting two different sets of information and feels like anarchy, like, oh no, what do I pay attention to? So that was my dog. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I thought it was my stomach for a second.
No, I just laid on a toy. So the brain decides, you know what? I'm going to align with the difference of the two frequencies. So it's going to align with 4 hertz, which is very cool because we can't hear that sound with our human ear. And it's also the same sound frequency of the theta wavelength. And that is very much deep relaxation, deep meditation. So learning that we could do this. You can make meditations using this specific sound technology to take you to specific levels, specific wavelengths of frequency, altered states of consciousness, if you will.
That is
So,
great.
yeah, it's so cool. And Bob has written 3 books and deeply explained a lot of his experiences and not much about the technology, more about his experiences and, I forget what I was going to say. Just, whoo. Oh, he came up with a lot of terminology. So he likes to call the different levels of consciousness focus levels. So right now we're in focus level 1, physical, human, awake reality. And then it goes up to like focus 10, which would be mind awake, body asleep. That's a place where we can even go while we're daydreaming, focus 12, expanded awareness. Focus 15 is an area of no time, no space. And as you travel through these focus levels, you begin to remember what they feel like. And then you can go there whenever you want because you'll just remember that frequency, I guess, that feeling. I
That's
might have
great.
gone off on a tangent
No,
there.
you're good. I actually wanted to talk about the brainwave sequencing because I have used binaural beats before, and specifically with that theta for like deep relaxation and things of that nature. And I think the first time you kind of listen to it is a little chaotic and overwhelming, but you find this sense of some kind of connection to what's going on. And I think the more you do it, the more accessible it is, obviously. I actually did use the Expand app this
Oh, you did?
morning, and I did a 10-minute meditation. And without super researching the Monroe Institute, I was connecting those kind of things. It's like, oh yeah, this is very like binaural beats. And I think the one that I did had ocean waves, and it was really fun because it was like cascading from side to side, which was a lot of cool things. And as we were talking about, really cool to adjust and where you want to go. And that's what I think with those levels, those focus levels that you're talking about, a lot of people don't know about meditation. It's like, it's not just for deep relaxation. It can be, but you can use it for many different things and in different ways when you connect to the pieces. And I'm a big fan of polyvagal theory, and this is something that we play around in polyvagal theory about. Just how you can access different levels of your nervous system response based on different catalysts like that, brainwaves, frequencies. There's even a whole training on how to use altered sounds to retrain your middle ear, so it tightens or loosens based on what you want to work on, which then adjusts fight or flight response in the nervous system.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
it's really
cool.
cool. When you look into it, it's like, because when you're in fight or flight, your eardrum will tighten. I believe it's tightened, and hear a different frequency because of nature. You have to hear threat, right? And so this is why when people are anxious or overwhelmed or angry, if you're in an argument, a lot of people say, you're not hearing what I'm saying, because they're literally not hearing human speech. They're just hearing tone, or they're seeing reactions and respond to that, as opposed to actually hearing the words. And so
That makes sense.
there's a whole training that I use with some younger kids of retraining the middle ear so that you can access that.
On command. That's nice.
Yeah, it's really,
Awesome.
really interesting. And it's really nice for me too. You don't have to be a kid to utilize that. I'm a big proponent of, if I'm going to recommend it with clients, I'm going to go through it first. Because I need to understand, one, for myself, how it works, and then also I don't want to be like, hey, do this thing, and I have no idea what it feels like to sit through.
I wouldn't do that either.
No, I mean, I think legally that I might be in trouble if I do something
Could
like that,
it
but
could
who
stir
knows?
some things up.
That's great, and I'm glad that you found this. So where are you in the process? I know you said Chapter of Us is your business that you're starting, that's linked to the Monroe Institute. What do you have going on? What are you doing with your business?
Right now, I am offering two Zoom meetings every month. It's one on the second Saturday, one on the second Sunday. Those are at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I have a couple of facilities around here that are hosting me and allowing me to host in-person meditations there. So I do one at the Holistic Treehouse here in Chesapeake, Virginia, every other Wednesday. And I do one at a Shine Yoga, which is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I do
Awesome.
that once a month right now. We're just getting started out, and I'm sure there'll be more pop-ups coming. But for the in-person meetings, I did get 10 zero gravity chairs. So we all kind of sit
Awesome.
together and let our energy be nice and close while we're comfortable.
That's awesome. We're actually heading out on a vacation in the coming weeks, and one of the places just hiking and doing stuff. And one of the places that we were looking at has zero gravity chairs to stargaze.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking into that aspect, but I'm not sure if we have the time as of yet, but very comfortable for sure.
Yes, they are comfortable. It's nice. I do like
So
that.
with this, and we've talked a lot about different therapeutic endeavors and then also different styles of meditation and what it looks like and the focus levels of, aiming for different aspects, whether it's deep relaxation, whether it's connection and creativity, whether it's like being awake and
Focus, yeah, clarity on
focused.
something, yeah.
And we were talking about how we don't want to keep meditation in a box. One of the things that I've felt was like really cool when I was first learning how to meditate and then refining it for practice and teaching is sitting with someone, really understanding what they want to work on and what that looks like, and then trying to be creative in how to do that with that individual. Because I remember going to a training on mindfulness and meditation, and this one of the presenters, she was talking about how it looks different for different people. And she's a Black woman, and she was saying for Black people, it's really hard to say, "Hey, sit still and be silent for 15 to 20 minutes as you meditate," and having to really take in cultural backgrounds, traumas, generational traumas into what that looks like. And it seems like from what you're saying, like there are a ton of different ways that you do that with the individuals that you work with.
Yeah, it's an individual journey, and I'm not here to dictate or anything. What I'm doing is making a safe space so that people can really remember who they are, and how they do that is up to them. And I'll be here to offer tips if they ask for them or if they need them. But like I said, there is no wrong way to meditate. And most of my meditation is done in my present moment, consciously living. And that counts. And you have to give yourself credit for that. Give yourself credit for the little things that you do every day. And then you can build trust within yourself. And that will help the relationship between you and yourself.
I love that. I was talking to my brother, I think it was yesterday, about, a lot of ancient techniques are very solidly put, and there's a lot of, for meditation or martial arts or even just like, healthy eating and concepts of like medicine. And I think there's a lot of value in that, but they also have to be opened up to kind of grow and expand. And so to have, you use the word dogmatic, but I think that's a correct word with some stuff, even if it's not religious based, is this idea of no, it has to be this way without any further reflection. And so that's one of my favorite things about teaching meditation in a group is sometimes you have people sitting, some people or just walking around. And I think if you have too much of a dogmatic viewpoint, you're like, no, you need to sit down. And it's like, I felt like Taylor Swift there for a second. So I love that y'all are bringing that to the world a little bit more and opening up. And again, maybe gatekeeping's not the right word, but like breaking free from gatekeeping of, oh, it has to be this way. That's the only way.
Yeah, it's just a limiting belief, people. It's another should, and if we could just get rid of that word completely, I think everyone would be a lot happier because We should do whatever we want. Whatever we
There's
want, really.
a quote that I think I don't know if it was a client or if they were using a quote that's already been said, but it's like, don't should all over yourself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was one funny because I like puns. I'm just that's my dad humor. It's like, oh, that's great. But it's also puts in perspective that concept of right. And it's like if we're constantly living in this like I should or I have to, it's very limiting in our thoughts instead of what I don't like using positive and negative because I feel like it's too binary. So sometimes I say limiting and generative because I feel like there's always a generative aspect, but maybe not always a positive aspect of something.
That's very true. I also try to eliminate negative words wherever I can, even if it's silly, you know, like I don't want to use the word not or the word no or the word but. And sometimes I feel like I have to, but that's part of the consciousness being in the moment. How could I think of this in a more positive way? How else could I let this thought float through my brain? And just making those teeny little changes over and over again really does create new neural pathways, which can create new beliefs and a new perspective on your whole life, giving you essentially a brand new life, you know?
100%. Yeah, when we do youth groups, we often do like a recommendations list of how to make the group function well, as opposed to a rules list. And that's one of the things we say. We say, you know, let's try to use generative language as opposed to very black and white thinking, or not even black and white thinking, but like really constricted thinking. And so if someone says, do not speak over other people, we will reframe it. And it's like, well, how could we say that in a more generative way? And I
Yeah.
think it also challenges them to think outside of the box. I'm like, what does it actually mean to not speak over someone besides like, oh, we can't do that. What are we trying to cultivate? What moralistic or generative aspect are we aiming for? And I think that's the power of words, as you were talking about.
Yep.
People sleep on that a lot, you know. Oh, affirmations, what does it do? You know, affirmations work really well because it's that repetitive cycle of like actually connecting to a different viewpoint. And like you said, you change the neural pathway in your brain and
Yeah.
you can access more.
One of the things I did way in the beginning was killing automatic negative thoughts, the ants, if you know.
Yeah.
And so every time I had a negative thought, whatever it was, I would stop and acknowledge it and not be upset. You know, it was something that was protecting me from something. But then I would list three things that I was grateful for. And I made a rule I couldn't repeat that list, anything in that list for a week. So working from home sometimes is like, oh, what did I do? You know, what am I grateful for today? So it kind of trained my brain to always constantly be looking for something. So I have some gratuity in my back pocket for the time a negative thought comes up. And really now I just like search for all the things that I'm grateful for. And I didn't even know that I was building my brain that way. You know, it was one of those subconscious gifts.
And I like that because I think one of the first part of doing any of these things is just awareness that you're doing it. And that's a accessible step that anyone can kind of connect to without fear of having to figure it all out. It's like just build awareness around it and then you can add the steps to grow from that.
Yeah.
It's
I
great.
think it can be a little shocking too, people in the beginning of this journey, when you realize that you're going to start getting to know yourself, it can be a little shocking how much you don't know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, how much we've just been unconsciously, unintentionally making decisions throughout our life because we should, you know. Oh, back on that should topic.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you've ever heard, but the universe doesn't hear negative. It just doesn't. So when you say, oh, I hope there's not traffic on the way home, the universe hears traffic. You got it. You know, like doesn't hear the not in it. So I'm reading a book and it was saying, like, oh, if you tell the universe, oh, I want money. Please, I want so much money. The universe hears, okay, you want to want money? I'll give you four more reasons. And now you really want money, you know? Or if I need money, oh, I need money so much. The universe will say, okay, you want to need money? Here's a couple extra bills. Now you really, really need money. So
Yeah.
even being intentional with what you're asking for and keeping the negatives out of there. or the wishful hoping, I guess, and more of believing that you already have it and feeling that emotion that goes with it, gratitude or thankfulness or the feeling that you can breathe again, you know.
It's funny because that's always a message in like kids' stories that we hear a lot. I mean, I remember watching Aladdin, right? And you know, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Aladdin, the Disney movie, but I think by now you're probably okay.
I've seen
You
it,
know, Jafar gets in trouble at the end of that movie because of not being intentional about the wishes that he's making of the genie of wanting unlimited power, and so he turns in, he gets, you know, you all have seen it. I'm not telling you anything new, but it's such a common message. But in practical life, a lot of times we don't remember or don't connect to it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, we're just coasting through because we're stressed and it's easy, you know, and we know what to do. But taking the time to pay attention to yourself, and it takes no time. You can do it anywhere because it's just your thoughts. So that's the best part about it.
There you go. All right, are you ready for your questions to end the podcast?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, so you can answer in any order. Here are the two questions. If you could have any superpower, if we were in a universe where all the superpowers were accessible, and maybe we are, probably are, what superpower would you want and why? And then the second question is, what is your true life superpower?
The superpower that I want and have been working on all year is telepathy. So I'm
Nice.
working on nonverbal communication and becoming telepathic because we all have that ability. We're all born with that ability. And we just have to remember how to use it.
All
So that
right.
superpower. And I'll
All
let you know
right.
when it comes true.
Okay. Just send me,
Telepathically, I'll
yeah,
send
just send me a message and we're
it.
good.
And I think that my superpower is helping people remember. People remember who they are.
I like that. I also like that juxtaposition of ADHD in helping people remember, because again, it's like we know an ADHD memory is not always the most conducive for a lot of people. It can be, right? The
Yeah.
work. But it's a good juxtaposition. It's like here's my superpower, even though that's there. Good. All right. So if you had to boil this down, everything we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes into maybe like a 1 minute pitch to the listeners of what you would want them to take away from this podcast, what would it be?
Okay. If there's one thing I would like everyone to know is that it doesn't matter where you're starting. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be spiritual enough. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to pause, to take a second for yourself, and to believe that you are more than your physical body and listen to that part of you that is already whole and remember who you are. That's where it begins.
Awesome.
That's where all the answers are. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, Jessica, thank you so much. It's been an honor to sit with you today and hold space with you today. And I really appreciate all the insight and wisdom that you shared. And, you know, I'm super excited for people to check out your stuff, Chapter of Us. Check it out and give it a listen.
Presentchapter.com.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful. I'm really happy to be here.